This is the voice of the Vortex. Hello. Today is October 16th, 2010. Ursula Vernon draws many things that are not strange fruit, but by far her most famous painting, in that weird way in which things become famous on the internet, is The Biting Pear of Salamanca. This painting features a Rococo landscape in the background and a huge pear with a smiling, toothy mouth in the foreground. A cropped version of this picture, with a lolcat-style caption reading, LOL what, that's W-U-T what, has become a meme. Biting pears have been spotted at anonymous protests. Fans of the pear can purchase resin or plush versions, and a paint-a-pear contest was recently announced. This is not the sort of thing that artists usually plan to become famous for. Ursula Vernon's career seems, from the outside, to be full of this sort of randomness. As an artist, she has drawn everything from furry pinup girls to children's books. I first came across her work in the webcomic Digger. Digger is a beautiful comic, created using white over black over white scribbles that at times give it the feel of a woodcut. Digger tells the story of a wombat named Digger, who, disoriented by a pocket of bad air, digs her way to a land she doesn't recognize, filled with masked priests and talking hyenas, among other weirdness. I am particularly fond of the oracular slugs. Digger is one project that shows how intricately detailed Ursula's worlds become. The talking hyenas have a fully functional society, with interpersonal squabbles, tribal customs, rituals for the dead, and a gorgeously illustrated mythology to explain the creation of the world and the origin of evil. Being hyenas, they are matriarchal, which makes the painfully accurate depiction of an abusive relationship palatable for a mass audience. Even the oracular slugs have a complete backstory, despite making, I think, all of 2 appearances in the comic so far. At the time of this podcast, Digger is once again deep underground, trying to figure out how to kill a dead god. Her hyena friend seems ready for his Smeagol moment. It's all very dramatic, and I can't wait for the next page. While Digger is popular on the internet, the project that has earned Ursula her mainstream success is the Dragon Breath series. Dragon Breath, Dragon Breath 2, Attack of the Ninja Frogs, and Dragon Breath 3, Curse of the Were-Wiener, tell the story of a young dragon as he faces the usual trials of a kid. Bullies, cafeteria food, learning to breathe fire, giant squid, that kind of thing. The books feature Ursula's writing and her illustrations, which are generally hilarious, with the occasional moment of odd beauty. In particular, I'm thinking of the crane in Attack of the Ninja Frogs. While these books are marketed for children who don't like reading, I find them enchanting, and look forward to picking up The Curse of the Were-Wiener at my local bookstore just as soon as I can. Ursula Vernon and her partner Kevin also have a podcast. She's an artist. He's a sysadmin. Together, they review prepackaged food in Kevin and Ursula Eat Cheap, home of such memorable quotes as, "It's got to taste better than it looks because there isn't another option." This podcast features Ursula and Kevin preparing and eating prepackaged food with color commentary and a beagle. I will have links to all of these things in the show notes. What follows is fiction. The government finally relented and allowed the foreman to hire a hunter. The hunter went into the jungle, and the foreman talked his logging crews and his digging crews and his land-flattening crews into going back to work. There were no deaths all that week, then no deaths for almost a month. Then the foreman walked out of his house in the evening and stopped and stood still. In that brittle quiet, which any of his simian ancestors would have recognized, the foreman waited. The jaguar opened his jaws, letting the hairy, clotted mass fall to the ground. The foreman did not scream. He waited in that awful stillness until the jaguar padded back into the forest. He took out his cell phone, watching with distant interest as it trembled in his hand. The foreman called his boss. He did not start screaming until they found the rest of the hunter's body, wedged in a crook of a tree, high above his house. He was still screaming when the paramedics took him away. A touchstone of science fiction for me has always been 2010 by Arthur C. Clarke. I have always believed that there is life on Europa. It just makes sense, which is a terrible premise for a scientific conclusion, but I am a writer and they let me get away with it. So when I read about exciting chemistry happening on the surface of Europa, I was fascinated. Scientists at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center have demonstrated relatively fast reactions between water ice and sulfur dioxide at temperatures as low as 100 Kelvin. That's below temperatures that they expect to find on Europa, and it means that bisulfate and other ions can be created anywhere within Europa's icy crust. Until now, scientists thought that these reactions could only happen on the surface of the ice, where Jupiter's belts of high-energy radiation can add energy to the system. Where is Europa getting its sulfur? From its neighbor, volcanic Io, which launches sulfur ions into orbit. Why are sulfur ions cool? You and I, and every other living thing on Earth, use it to make essential amino acids. Also, a few strange bacteria have metabolisms that run on sulfur. Could there be Europan microbes living happy microbe lives, eating sulfur and water ice? I hope so. In podcasting news, that pillar of online speculative fiction, Escape Pod, is going pro. As of this month, they have raised their pay rates to 5 cents a word for new fiction. Escape Pod podcasts the best in short science fiction. Their sister podcasts, Podcastle and Pseudopod, do the same for fantasy and horror. Go and listen right after these announcements. Hadley Rill is a collapsed lava tube on the moon. It's also a local small press run by one Eric T. Reynolds. To celebrate its 5th anniversary, Hadley Rill is hosting a book sale. Many fine titles, including Transcendence, are available for amazingly small sums of money. Also, they are giving away a third-generation Kindle e-book reader. A link to their website, where you can find details of how to sign up for the giveaway, will be included in our show notes. The Kansas City Science Fiction and Fantasy Society's first annual Writer's Workshop was a guarded success. Our panelists, Susan Satterfield, Robin Wayne Bailey, and Chris McKitterick, held a lively conversation about writing, from both the artistic side and from a business point of view. At the three-hour mark, they were still going strong. The turnout was lower than expected, but because of that, the panelists were able to answer everyone's questions in detail. Overall, I think the moral of the workshop was, if you want to write, you have to read a lot in the genre that you're intending to write. The next CAXFIS meeting will be November 20th at 7 p.m. at the Writer's Place. The Voice of the Vortex is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works, Share Alike 3.0 license. To comment on this episode, or to submit flash fiction for future shows, drop an email to voiceofthevortex, all one word, at gmail.com. Show notes are available at voiceofthevortex.podbean.com. This is Sarah Frost, the Voice of the Vortex, signing off.